Could members take their seats, please? It is time to commence the meeting. I declare the meeting open and begin by acknowledging that we're on the traditional land of the Kaurna people, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I let everyone know that the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded and made available on the City of Marion website, usually after a few days, once members have had a chance to check the minutes. I ask councillors whether they foresee any item where there may be a conflict of interest. Councillor Luscombe.
Yes, I think I have a general conflict of interest in relation to the Cumbus item, due to the reason that I'm chair of the Cove Community Garden, which is located at Perry Bar Farm, which is listed as a Cumbus item.
Ooh. Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Now, Councillor Singh, you had your hand up.
I have a food business one, a food truck.
You have a food truck, and there's a food truck item, so thanks for alerting us to that.
Thank you.
General or material?
Material. There being no others, then we're going to go straight through to... I look at the agenda items, and it would be most convenient for us councillors if we dealt with 11.1... So I just need to clarify with Ms. Vinyl, but we've got this curious thing where we have an hour of this public meeting for members of the public to make any submissions on the budget. But do we move a motion at this stage or simply declare that they have the opportunity? Okay. So I'm saying that from, 6:33, that members of the public have that opportunity. If they want to raise their hands or make themselves known, that can be arranged. And we'll come back at 7:33 or soon after, and we can note any submissions that have been made. So that item 11.1, with the leave of the meeting, we'll simply have to leave that to be called on later. I was also going to suggest that the confidential item be dealt with after the corporate reports for noting. I thought that might be the most convenient way of doing the business. So if there's no objection, that's what we'll do. I have leave of the meeting for that. And that would bring us straight to Marion Holiday Park encroachments. So that's on page 94. And councillors, as you're aware, there are a couple of possible permutations with this one. And I find, as chair, that there are really two separate questions. One is in terms of how long a further licence might be granted, and the other is in relation to the maintenance of the adjacent reserve. So what I propose to do is take a motion from you with clauses 1 and 3, first of all, and I'll get to the amount of the term in a moment. So that would be to offer the licence and to bring back a further report after community engagement. And then also we would have as a separate motion the question of the maintenance of the reserve. So it could be the wording as printed, which would be for council to take over the maintenance of the reserve. If that motion fails, then I would be suggesting an alternative motion, which would say that the council would seek the agreement of the lessee to continue maintaining the reserve as they do currently. So you've got those sort of two options, but I'm just trying to separate these issues out. We'll come back to the issue of the land reserve in a moment. Let's just focus on the possibility of a further licence. Now, you'll see that the recommendation is in relation to a 15-year term. Councillors have expressed their views as to maybe it should be 10, maybe it should be 5. So what I'm going to do is go to the ward councillor first to move a motion with her preferred solution, which I believe is a 10-year term. But in the course of the debate, I'm going to give people the opportunity to amend that figure to 5 or 15. I'm going to look to Councillor Luscombe for an amendment that would be 5 years, if she wants to move that. And anyone may want to move an amendment for 15 as well. And that would mean a maximum of 2 amendments if we get to that stage. And I just remind people that if you do move an amendment, then that's also your chance to speak to the whole motion. It's your one chance to do that. So, Councillor Lama, I'll go to you if you still want to move that clause 1 and clause 3, but with a term of 10 years instead of 15. Is that where you are at?
Yeah, through the chair, yes, 10 years I would suggest, and that's what I would like instead of 15, please.
Would you like to speak to that motion?
Yes. The reason that I'm suggesting 10 years, because, you know, being a ward councillor, and then I know I can understand this, the 15 year can be very, very long, because the saying that we got a, the already previously made that arrangement is going to finish in November 2025 this year. And on top of that, 15 years might be a bit long, I would think. That's why I am suggesting 10 years, because that would give the holiday park enough time to remove those cabins, and then council can, take over that land. And I think that's the best way to go, because they're already, because it's a small, I know they're doing, I think, around $3 million turnover every year. But because if that gives them, that give them a 10 year, give them enough time to, solve their problem, and council can get our land back, and then we can start our biodiversity plan, and then the handover to the traditional landowner. That's the reason I'm supporting 10 years. And then as well as the another thing is, because we need to, as a council, we need to support the business as well, because especially that create a lot of economy in our city of Marion and job. I think that's the reason I'm supporting, I would like to move the 10 years term, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'll just ask if that motion is seconded, and then I will invite questions. We'll see how we go. Councillor Hoffman, you're seconding that.
Thank you very much. And through the chair, I echo Councillor Lama's sentiments on this. I think that the 10 years gives Marion Holiday Park the opportunity and the time to remove the cabins. 15 years, in my opinion, seems too long. And that whole area is actually going to go through quite a transformation in the next 10 years, besides the work that's happening at the Marion Holiday Park. And I think that would be a suitable time period to come back to council for a further decision at that point. And so for that reason, I'm supporting 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, before I go further, there is one important fact that Mr. Rowett, when we had a meeting with him informally, he was giving an indication as to the likely end of life, effectively, of the cabins. Now, I recall that being something he either said 10 to 12 years or a bit over 10, was it 12 years? So just thought that fact was salient. Are there any other factual questions before we continue? Councillor Crossland?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if we pass the 10 years, the council at the time can extend that for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But at least you can see where we're at and actual, is that correct, without community engagement?
That's right. I think the critical thing with the 10-year mark is that the encroachment would need to be removed prior to the end of that period. I think that's the relevance of the time. But Mr. Collins can answer.
Through the chair, absolutely the intention would be that this would, whatever we grant licence-wise, this would be the last one, and that we would have a requirement that the encroachments need to be removed prior to the end of that time. There is nothing, though, to stop potentially at that time another report coming back to council.
Councillor Luscombe.
Just a question around when community consultations are required as well. Can staff confirm that if we had a 5-year extension, would community consultation be required for that? And would it be required for a 10-year? Can you compare and contrast the two?
Mr. Collins.
The community consultation is only required if it's returned in excess of 5 years. So the Local Government Act requires that any lease or licence granted for a term over 5 years, we must undertake community consultation, but it's not required for the shorter period.
Just one follow-up question, if I may. I'm just interested to ask, with regard to community consultation on this matter, from staff's perspective, do you think that that is likely to be a helpful process, or could it potentially be damaging for council?
Well, I'd have to say that consultation is always helpful, but what's the staff advice on that?
I would agree with the Mayor. Absolutely, consultation is always useful. It's always good to get the feedback from the local community. But it's important that we're very clear about what the consultation is and the extent of the encroachments and the fact that that reserve is still open to the community.
Now, we proceed with debate. People may wish to speak against what has been moved and seconded, or they may wish to move an amendment. Over to you. But if there are no further speakers, then we don't need any reply from Councillor Lama. We can simply put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, we go to the question, which is contained in Clause 2. What was Clause 2? Now it's a subsequent motion. So you've got two options, councillors, whether you wish to have the lessee, Marion Holiday Park, continue maintaining the reserve between their property and the creek, or whether you wish council to take up that cost. So there is a printed motion there, if anyone wants to move that. If that fails, then we'll supply some alternate wording which would confirm that we will seek Marion Holiday Park to continue maintaining it. So, anyone? Yes, please.
From my recollection, the maintenance being carried out by the Holiday Park at the moment is very good and isn't actually affecting anything at all. I was surprised to see that we're trying to enforce that they don't pay for that maintenance anymore and we want to take it over, but it doesn't really justify why.
Yes, in other words, if they're doing a good job, why are we putting up our hands to pay for something that they're doing at the moment? Mr. Collins?
Yes, so it's actually primarily about a perception, in that because the Holiday Park maintains that reserve, there is a bit of a perception from the community, I think, and what we've heard in some of the feedback is that they have extra rights over that reserve because they're maintaining it, whereas realistically the purpose of the license agreement is purely for those little bits of encroachment that go onto the reserve. There's also and it works very well currently, but there is and we could tackle this within the agreement, but currently the license agreement is that they maintain down to the Sturt River. In reality, council have taken back the riparian zone because that's a sensitive area environmentally. By bringing it all back into council responsibility, it makes it cleaner and tidier and gives that real perception that it is community land and not the caravan parks.
So do any councillors want me to put up on the screen alternative wording?
Absolutely.
All right. So the alternative, which people may or may not want to move, would be, and I'll seek staff advice on this, but seeks an agreement as part of the new licence that the Marion Holiday Park will continue maintenance of the reserve between their property and the riparian zone. Will continue to maintenance of the reserve between their property and the riparian zone. And a licence with a C, thank you. Anything from staff?
No.
All right, so over to you, councillors. Either motion is acceptable. Councillor Masika.
Thank you, Your Worship. And I say, look, from business perspective, it makes sense that it's the council started with by allowing the holiday park to encroach the community land. And in return, the holiday park maintained the land without any problem, and we've never been concerned with any issue. Now, it will be, I don't know what will be thinking, to spend the $80,000 for the next $8,000 total in the next 10 years from the council to maintain something which will get maybe maintained for free. So long we allow them to give them 10 years to continue encroaching the community land, let's attach this maintenance with the same, you know, condition to say, look, until such time they vacate the land, we can take over with the confidence to say, yes, we have rights and justification to spend that money. Otherwise, I don't see any justification at all because there was no complaint, and we haven't complained, and we needed to leave that responsibility with the holiday park for the next 10 years and then take it over when the contractors come up to the end. That is my view, and that's the motion I support.
Thank you, Councillor Masika. Is that seconded? Councillor Lama?
Thank you. Through the chair, yeah, I agree with Councillor Masika. I think if we are going to go with the 10 years encroachment, that licensing for the next 10 years with the holiday park, I think we would just let them continue maintaining the reserve. And when we take over and we have to do our side anyway, I think I'm happy with this. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Luscombe?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one, and I think this is community land, and we want to make sure that the community realise that they can use it. That would be point number one. At the moment, I think community are hesitant to approach and utilise that area because they think it belongs to the caravan park, when actually it belongs to the community. So this is quite an important distinction. I think if we get Marion to manage the land, then we actually can encourage the community to use it more. The second point I'd like to make is we can actually improve upon the maintenance of the reserve to include more biodiversity plantings and make sure that it's being taken care of in line with our really high standards. Not that the caravan park don't have high standards, it looks beautiful, but I think the biodiversity component is something that we really can continue to build upon. And 10 years is a long time to continue to lose an opportunity there to build on biodiversity and to encourage the Friends of Warraparinga, to encourage Living Ghana and other interested parties to actually be participating in the maintenance of this land. So my vote would definitely be that it's money well spent to have that $8,000 so that we can really make this good community land that's serving lots of different purposes for amenity and biodiversity.
Thank you. Then the question is whether anyone else wants to speak in favour of the motion. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, look, I'll speak in favour. I think I support what Councillor Masika and Councillor Lama said regarding why would we spend $8,000 of ratepayers' money to achieve pretty much what's been provided for free. I was keen on ensuring that the riparian zone was maintained by council. And when Uncle Corey spoke, he did say that they had ready access through that land, so there was no doubt that at least the Living Kaurna Cultural Centre people are accessing that land, and it's obvious to them that it's open. And in addition to that, look, we've got some great biodiversity staff, and I think that if they wanted to put plants in there, an approach to the holiday park would probably be fruitful, because my feeling from what I saw from the manager of the holiday park was that they are more than willing to work and support council.
Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Valescu.
Yeah, I just had a question. My question is, like, do we need to put some sort of signage to say, you know, use for public use or something like that, if it is such a big issue that people don't think it's an area they can go in?
I'll just ask staff if that's been considered, any additional signage?
Certainly that's something that could be considered, absolutely, to make sure that the public are aware that it is community land and is accessible for the community at all times.
Bearing in mind that the decision tonight is to go out to community engagement, so maybe some more work can be done in the meantime. Councillor Valescu, your opportunity to... You didn't wish to enter the debate further. Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Hoffman?
Thank you very much, and through the Chair. Yes, I don't agree with this one. I think that it is Council's land, and I think that we have a situation that has developed over the last 40 years where we are now landed in a situation where there are a few things that we are trying to dismantle legally, and one of them is around the optics of this. It is Council land. I think it needs to be maintained by council, and I think the optics of taking it away from the Marion Holiday Park is starting to clean up this situation that is historical and somewhat unfortunate. So in that spirit, I don't support this motion.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Naismith.
Thank you, through the Chair. Yeah, I support this. As Councillor Crossland said, I think the Kaurna community, Corey would have mentioned to us if he had a problem with what was happening there by the holiday park. I think we're getting it back in 10 years' time, the land that should be community land, and in the meantime, the maintenance has been acceptable and we're going to maintain the sensitive parts, so I support it.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against? If not, then it's up to Councillor Masika to respond to finish the debate. Thank you.
Thank you, the Chair, for giving me the opportunity to respond. In particular, there are two areas I'm going to focus on. I said, number one, as I said at the beginning, that this motion, it makes sense in terms of business, because we allowed the holiday park to encroach the land, and we give them the license to continue to be occupying the land. So, and for them to maintain, it was a very good payback to the community to say, yes, they respect the deal, and they're there to help the community to maintain the land. And now, if we allow them again 10 years, and then we say, now we are going to maintain it for you, it doesn't make sense to me, who is a dealer with the business, and want to come to the point that we have a win-win situation for them and also for the community. The second point regarding to say, look, there are so many groups, they are very much interested with that land. But what we are passing tonight is not final. We are going to take it back to the community, which are the land owner, to say, yes, we agree, and we can move ahead. So this is going for community consultation. So if we've done wrong here, they'll let us know outside there. And that's why I'm very confident that they'll never see us passing, giving the land, at the same giving the money to maintain the land. That won't make sense to either if I was outside there. And finally, I say, look, this is an issue which we needed to agree that we made that commitment from the beginning, whether it was right or wrong, but we are now seeing for the next 10 years, we allow them to be there. We know after 10 years they have to vacate that land. And from there, we'll go in with the confidence and take control of the land. So that motion by fellow councillors, it's a real business case, and it's a real motion which we want to think of. It's not about the land, but it's all a win-win situation for the business, also for the council, and also for the community. I'll leave a case on the table for further outcome.
Very well. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That is carried by a majority. Thank you. So we move on to the SWARA draft budget report on page 113. SWARA, we affectionately call the Southern Waste Recycling Facility thing.
Southern Region.
There's a region in there somewhere. Sorry. Southern Regional Waste Recycling Authority. Resource Authority. That's why I call it SWARA. Okay. Councillor Luskin.
Just a question about the report, please. I was interested to read that Onkaparinga Council put out a tender for a new organics processing facility, which was won by SWARA. I'm just interested to find out more about what the new organics processing facility is, if we could, please.
Thank you. Ms. Allison can help with that.
Through the chair, the technology that will be implemented at SWARA is it's called in-vessel composting. So it's all contained within a building. So what they're doing is they're running negative air, if I say it right, I think it's negative air pressure through channels on the ground that actually aerate the composting within a, if you like, a very long building, like a big warehouse, if you like, with a curved roof on it. And what that does is it processes, it breaks it down much quicker than if it was out in the open, say, that we have with some of the other composting facilities in South Australia. So it's more efficient, it's a high quality, apparently, and so it's new technology that's being brought in from overseas to be run at the facility.
I suppose the next obvious question is, what are the implications for us in council, and is this something that worth us considering too?
From a SWARA perspective, they would like all the three constituent councils to have all of their organic waste go to the facility. We need to deal with it and council from a procurement perspective to make sure it's still delivering best value for money. I understand when we did the recycling centre at SWARA, so the yellow bin recycling, that we did get some legal advice that even with our procurement processes that we could just go to SWARA for our processing because we are an owner of the business. So we just need to make sure that we can potentially do the same thing, but we also need to make sure that the gate fee is appropriate and it's not overinflated. So we just need to double check it, and that'll be some work that'll be done coming up to the end of our current organics processing facility through the corporate services procurement team.
Any other questions? In that case, would somebody like to move as recommended? Councillor Luscombe, seconded Councillor Taylor. Any comments from councillors? No, no one's speaking against, so I'll put the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Next item is in relation to mobile food vendor locations, and Councillor Singh has declared a material conflict of interest, so he's left for that item. Now, this is a one where there might be a few comments or questions or suggestions, so I'll just open it up broadly at the moment for questions. Councillor Hoffman.
Yes. Thank you very much, through the Chair. My question is around the dedicated site at Glandore Oval. I have concerns around that. So I've just got... what I would like to ask is, what does that look like? What is the impact to the site? What are you proposing as a dedicated area? And what would be the impact to the residents? That's two questions in one. Let's just talk about what is actually going to happen on that site.
Through the Chair, the proposal is for a dedicated pad site, so a concrete site with the potential for electricity. That would be a permanent location. It would be located on community land, so we would need to seek statutory approvals and development approval for that site before it could become a permanent trading location. Yes, please.
Sorry, I'm just going to intervene briefly. When you say permanent trading location, that doesn't mean 24/7, does it?
That's correct. Yeah.
All right, so Councillor Hoffman.
Well, actually, that's a really good point. Thank you very much, Mayor Hannah. What does that mean, like a permanent trading location? So
if I could just pick up, because when I was considering these sort of questions, I was looking at the mobile food vendor location rules, which begin on page 134 of our agenda. And there's a critical point there, number three, a mobile food vending business holding a permit issued by the council may operate anywhere in the council area subject to complying with these location rules, there are various ones, any other requirements of the permit. And then the very next thing is must select a site for operation which allows for a reasonable distance between the mobile food vending business and fixed food businesses during the operating hours of the fixed food businesses. So that last bit is really critical, that if there's a restaurant that's open, you don't want a food truck next to it while that restaurant's open. But if the restaurant's not open, then from a policy point of view, you would wonder, well, what's the harm? But if I could just go back to Mr. Matthews to explore that point a bit further, given the particular type of operation of a sports club at the other end of the oval.
Yes, certainly. There are a number of considerations, including the hours of operations. At the moment, it's proposed in this report that trading be between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. There can be specific restrictions placed on individual sites. So if there was a requirement to consider the trading hours of the football club or the cricket club while they're utilising the sports facility, that can certainly be included. And the proximity to surrounding businesses, the proposed sites that have been included within the report are at a minimum 250 metres away from existing bricks and mortar fixed businesses.
So then the next point I would add is that, or remind councillors, I suppose, this is a proposal to send something out to community engagement, so we may get all sorts of responses back. It's not a final decision. But to take up Councillor Hoffman's point, I had imagined that we wouldn't have a food truck operating on game days, for example, at the especially football game days, apart from the fact that the proposed pad would be sort of behind the goal square and potential problems from that. It would be real competition on game days with the operation of the sports club. Mm. But, you know, at 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on a Monday probably wouldn't have any bearing on the club materially at all. And, of course, they generally offer different types of food, but that's not necessarily the case. That's hard to pin down in the rules. Mr. Matthews, anything further on that?
Nothing further, other than just to reiterate that specific conditions can be placed on each site as required.
Sorry, Mr. Matthews, I hadn't finished my questions. My last question is, it sounds rather expensive to set up a dedicated area, so do you have any indicative costings to do so? Sorry about that, Councillor.
Not at this stage. That would be subject to further consideration.
And just one more question. If Councillor Hoffman or anyone else had a concern that if that was to go ahead, then there shouldn't be permission to operate with the licence on game days of the sports club, how would we as councillors make that distinction? Do we need to do that now, or should we concern ourselves with that when it comes back after consultation?
That can be addressed at a later date in the specific conditions of the permit.
All right, thank you. Councillor Masika had some questions, I think.
Yes, my question is, I've seen like Jebus Street playground. It's one of the listed areas. Although you're moving from Jebus to Waterhouse, is there any consideration to put up specific days and specific hours where the food vendors, they can come and operate around those times? And the reason I'm asking this, it has been the issue of concern. Because when you come to this narrow street like Waterhouse, you find the council normally issues 7 days a week from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock night, which is causing a lot of problem to the councillors, to the residents, to everyone. because it's working days. People that come from work, the food is there from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Are you going to consider specific days the way you are considering for the foodie, not Saturday and Sunday, not on Monday, because there's no food on Monday, Saturday or Sunday? Are you going to do the same for these narrow streets on the suburbs?
Mr. Matthews?
Well, we could certainly consider that based on community feedback. During the forum, one of the discussion points was potentially rotating from some of the sites if required. At the moment, the proposal in the report is for the ability to trade unrestricted 7 days per week, subject to the hours noted in the report.
All right. Councillor Velescu had his hand up, then Councillor Crossland.
Please, I know that we talked about your food delivery services. I couldn't find anything. Maybe I missed it. If I'm domestically blind, let me know. But I'd want that very clear, that there is to be no operation of any, you know, deliveries from that site, and that would basically jeopardise the lease quickly. So, you know, if they do it, we warn them. If they keep doing it, then they're out of there.
Through the chair, yes. The report notes that mobile food vendors would not be permitted to trade using app delivery services while they're at one of our pre-approved locations.
So that's in the guidelines?
Item 3.
Page 130.
Yeah. That's not in the guidelines. Does that need to be in the guidelines?
These permit conditions are in fact going out for consultation. But it's a fair question, should they be in the rules as well?
I think so.
Yes.
So maybe that's for the next iteration. Thank you. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. At the moment, we have various locations around council where we've already got electrical points for food trucks, and one of those is at the southern end of Heron Way, which is one of the proposed sites. My ears pricked up a little bit when you said we'd be building a permanent concrete pad, because at the moment we utilise that site quite often, but it's just parked on the grass and when it's gone, it's invisible. At what point would councillors or the community have a say of whether there was going to be a permanent pad put in, even if we don't know if anyone's going to rent it or not? That's just my concern.
Matthews?
I don't believe there's any intention for Heron Way, but for the Gland or Oval location, we'd envision the community would have the ability to provide feedback during consultation, and we would take that feedback and make any amendments as required.
And just a follow-up question, getting into a lot of detail here, I know, but if there was a location off the road to improve the parking situation at Glendale, Margaret Street, why would it be necessary to put down, when we talk about a pad, why would it be necessary or advisable to put down a concrete pad as opposed to just putting a bit of spray paint on the lawn and they can just park there?
That's also a suitable alternative if desired. Based off the cost, there is also the option to consider using one of the car parks on the street if we didn't want to go through the development approval process as an alternative.
All right, Councillor Velescu had another one.
Yeah, just in regards to Glendale, is it possible to put it sort of up, is it up Nildira Street, just up around the corner, so it's not actually on the main road? Is there that option?
We haven't received any specific traffic advice, but certainly that could be considered.
And I guess as well, have we done any assessment on the impact on sight lines? Because a couple of these, you know, depending on where they park, it could cause issues as far as sight lines for traffic and that sort of thing.
While we have sought advice from our traffic safety team on all of these sites, we would still be hoping to receive further feedback from the community as well as the traffic safety team as required, particularly if there were any suggestions to relocate or even partially relocate some of these sites.
Yes, the other one is the one we're looking at, Duncan Avenue, just off Hendry Street. Depending on where the truck is parked, there could be a more favourable view of children sort of crossing the road as opposed to in some locations in that red area.
All right, these are details that staff can take into account. And because of the mention of Maldera Street in Glandorf, and local councillors would know this better, but that little, it's almost a laneway coming off Churchill to parking facility next to the sports club building, that is something of a funnel, one way in and out. So to have a food truck there with people milling around may not be ideal, but again, something to be considered when you get to the fine print. Okay, if they are the questions, councillors, over to you. You've got a recommendation there on page 129.
Well, look, I'm happy to move as is and put it out there for community consultation. I guess as long as we clarify a couple of the points in the information that goes out, specifically in regards to the mobile food, food delivery businesses, that should be in the regulations. But look, yeah, let's get out there, let's see what people think. You know, looking at some locations where it could be of benefit, this gives the opportunity for the community to tell us whether they think it's a good idea and if there are any issues that we can either address or, I guess, consider in whether we move forward with those sites or not.
Is that seconded, Councillor Lama? Anything to add? Then anyone against? Then I'll put the proposal. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you.